You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Raven Traveling opened last week at the Vancouver Art Gallery. This exhibition of Haida art presents nearly 300 of the finest artworks from the past 200 years, ranging from monumental poles and exquisitely carved masks to argillite carvings and remarkable spruce root weavings. The show was a collaborative effort with curators from Haida Gwaii working together with the Vancouver Art Gallery. Vince Collison was curatorial intern for the exhibition, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning.
Well, congratulations on a fabulous show. I went on Thursday night, and I spent an hour and a half on it. Definitely wasn't long enough.
Yes, it is. You need to take some time when you go into the exhibition, just to let your listeners know it's a very long. You got to take real long, exhaustive walks through the exhibition. There's beautiful little places to sit down and listen to Haida storytelling and watch some Haida artists at work in the video section, but just looking at the beautiful pieces as well, because they're very exquisite and very, there's a lot of little nuances to those beautiful pieces of Haida treasures.
Now, the whole exhibition is organized around a number of themes. What are they?
Well, Raven Traveling is the beginning theme, which is, talks about the stories of Raven. And we move into, from Raven Traveling, we move into Formline. And from Formline, Formline kind of is the kind of what they call, Don Yeomans calls it the grammar. And it's just kind of interesting the way that he phrases it, because it really makes a lot of sense when you think about it. It's a kind of a visual grammar.
Formline is the kind of the organizational structure.
Yeah, it's the organizational structure. The black formline, I guess, that's the outline of the design. And what fills it in, you know, are the ovoids and the eyebrows and the U-shapes. And that's kind of the secondary form line, I guess they call it. And so that's kind of an interesting interesting place to visit, too, because it's the kind of rules of Haida art, and you really have to learn those before you actually kind of move on to your into your own, because that's part of the learning process for Haida artists. Art of the Clan follows Haida form line. And we also moved into some secondary themes that kind of came out of these first themes, and one of those was Silent Years, and Silent Years talks about when the Haida art went underground and talks about when it did go underground, the many ways that we found to continue to practice our own art, even though it was frowned upon in Canadian society. And from there, we also moved into weavers, and weavers were also a very integral part of who we are as well, because weavers are very underrated, I think, component of Haida art, because weavers have their own very disciplined way of working.
And these are the women, mainly women.
Mainly women that do that. And it's not just spruce root weaving and cedar bark weaving, it's also textiles as well. And they did some beautiful raven's tail. They also practiced Chilkat, what the Haida call Nahin. And so that was really a good moment, I think, too, to celebrate the women's art, because the women's art needs to be, you know, more out there in the world. We had the opportunity to also honor, I think, one of the more celebrated weavers, I guess you'd call her, is Isabel Rorick, who's just really just taken her art very seriously and really taken what that legacy that she's inherited very seriously. And so she continues to practice the art. She continues to go up to Haida Gwaii. Marianne Jones touches on in our book about how you have the Haida art don't have Haidas don't have Haida artists don't have you know the there where they get their material is from Haida Gwaii. And so Isabel's got to go up to Haida Gwaii. She gathers the spruce roots and she puts them all together, and that's what forms what her art is, and it all comes from the land, it all comes from the waters, and that's why we fight for it so hard. From weaving, we also go into Clever Hands, and Clever Hands was just a moment to start naming a number of artists.
That's the term, a translation of the Haida term for artist, is it?
It's the translation for what that actually is, because there really is no term for master, and we weren't comfortable with the term master, because it doesn't really define what that actually is. And it was just interesting to be able to name some of these other people outside of Charles Edenshaw, which is the one that, if you follow Haida art, that's the big name that you kind of go after. But there was more than just Charles Edenshaw. There was a number of different other Haida artists that were influential in their own ways, like John Guiteel and Simeon Silta, and you know, the names that kind of came from Bill Holm as well, like Master of the Long Fingers and Master of the Chicago Settee.
Well, that was very interesting to me that there are people whose names are not known because of the circumstances in which they were working.
That's right.
And yet the characteristics of their art are as easily traceable as a Picasso or a Gauguin.
Exactly. We get questions about that because then what I actually liked about this exhibition is that we also were able to have a number of pieces that said artists unknown, and that also makes a statement as well that there was more than just those named people as well that were influential, and they had their own styles. Robert Davison talks about that discipline we were talking about a little earlier with the form line, where you learn that, and you need to learn that because that's the grammar and that's something that you need to understand. But after you've learned it, after you've mastered it to a certain degree, then you get your own style. And you find that within all these other artists' unknowns and all the named artists we had, they all had their own style.
Well, and Master with the Long Fingers, a lot of the carving, they had actual long fingers.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's what they had to try to do. We were asked by one of our guests that came to have a look at the exhibition about why we haven't named everybody, why haven't we researched that. And really what you're finding, though, with the Haida is that they're like a lot of other First Nations, but the Haida, because we are so well collected, we as the Haida are just starting to get to these museums ourselves and to do those kind of scholarly pursuits. Those are kind of things that we're just starting to do ourselves. I mean, you're just really finding us at that point where we're just having a voice in our own collection in these different museums, not only here in North America, but also all across Europe. I mean, we are very well collected, and that's a part of that legacy that we've inherited is dealing with what that is now. The last section after Clever Hands, well, there's a subsection, I guess, to Clever Hands, and that's to also name the Clever Hands of today. Mm-hmm. And the Clever Hands of today, of course, talks about Bill Reed, talks about Robert Davidson, Reg Davidson, Jim Hart, and, you know, and all these different other artists that have really done a very impressive job, I think, of carrying on that legacy they inherited. Jim Hart, there's a little section in there at the beginning of Raven Traveling. You'll see two masks, one that's on our big poster and one that's on our all the buses and everything.
These are the big masks with the raven,
the two
and then
raven
a face
transformation
in between
masks,
the...
Exactly.
Yes.
And we were really excited to get the Raven Transformation mask from the Pitt Rivers Museum in Oxford. We've had dealings with the Pitt Rivers Museum.
So just to explain to people who haven't had a chance to go yet, there's an older one, and
that's
is
right.
is that Charlie Edenshaw?
That's
that
Charles
one?
Edenshaw's.
So that's from 1880,
well, that's about 1890.
And then there's a new one.
One created by Jim Hart specifically to be danced.
Okay.
That was very exciting about it. The one that we have, two Charles Edenshaw masks, those are the two that he's known to have carved. And the Raven Transformation mask has been in the Pitt Rivers Museum ever since it was pretty much created.
In
and
Oxford,
so it's never
yeah,
really
England,
been shown
yeah.
in North America. So it's the first time it's its debut here. So we're really excited to be able to acquire that mask because it talks about, you know, there you go, two centuries of Haida art right there, you know. Jim Hart is also a hereditary leader from home, and so it was just natural that you know, we have also a mask from him because he's also inherited the name, and it's Edenshaw is actually pronounced Edunsu, and that's the name that Jim Hart has, and so we were really excited to be able to kind of, you know, create that moment, I think, within this exhibition, just to showcase people that part.
One of the things that I really loved about the exhibition was how much I learned. There's an enormous amount of written information, not in a way that's oppressive to read, but just a lot of information. And one of the things that is talked about is the place of looking to the past and using what comes from the past and learning that and then going on your own way of interpreting, which is a concept that is a little more foreign, I think, to the postmodern art world that we live in now.
Well, it's interesting because I remember talking with one of our animateurs who was having a hard time trying to talk about this because it's not something you really learned. And that's part of the education, I think, that we have to get to, is that the people that don't know about Haida art need to learn that much more about it, but also learn about the Haida And because we've been practicing for so long, you know, there's all these other different periods that came along during that time that are in the traditional art world that people learned about. But you didn't learn about this growing up. I didn't learn about this in my own high school, about our own history. And so that's why it's going to be difficult to interpret it, because it's been going on for so long, and there's so many different nuances coming from the Haida perspective that it does make it difficult to try to interpret it in that way. But that's the challenge as well, right? I mean, that's part of what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate people. We're trying to let people know that this is in your backyard. It's right, you know, it's right there in your own country, and you need to learn this. So that's part of the thing that I... It's one of my goals in my life is to try to make sure that people understand this to a certain degree. And that's something that, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for over 15 years and I've been enjoying it. And this is one of the new challenges that I have, is to work in this kind of field. The last section is one of those sections as well that talks about the different ways that people have kind of pursued it. So when you saw New Directions, you probably saw this Haida manga, which is done by Michael Nicolaiakulonis. And Michael, you know, has his own way of interpreting Haida art.
Describe that to me.
Haida manga is, well, people that know manga out there know it's this kind of visual language as well, in its own way, that it's very well collected in Asia. So Michael's this big superstar over in Asia, and he's trying to, you know, establish the same kind of superstar status here in Canada, I think, because I think he's also a very unique individual, Michael. But it's we don't like to describe it as cartoonish, but unfortunately that's the easiest way to describe what manga actually is. And what Michael's done is continue to use the form line, but also use storytelling in the way that he does in his books. And we're just excited to get a new piece from Michael called War of the Blink, which is also based on a story from our culture. And so it's just an interesting way of just showcasing what that is, and it's just very strong visually in a lot of different ways. And we were just excited that Michael was a part of our exhibition, and not only with what he does, because that's kind of like on the far end, but also within New Directions you've got Don Yeomans, who stretches that vocabulary a little more to things like Celtic influences, for instance. And that's the part of what's so exciting about celebrating what we're doing today as well, as much as we did in our past. And that struggle that we have and maintaining our culture, I think, is just amazing, actually, when you think of what we went through and what different... all those very difficult challenges that we went through as a people.
And we're talking here about what is called in the exhibition the Silent Years.
That's the Silent Years. It touches on it a little bit, but yeah. Even before then, you know, before the Silent Years, there was the fact that we lost all of these people to smallpox. And the best way to describe that is that of 25 people that are in the room, you'd be the only surviving member.
So it's like 30,000 people to 600 people.
Well, it was just a large, devastating loss over a very short period of time. And it was because we had, you know, there were stories of what they call infested blankets that were sent to Haida Gwaii. And there's some really harrowing stories, actually, of what that actually is. There's stories of us going down to Kwakwaka'wakw territory, which is at the southern tip of Vancouver Island, and, you know, over 1,200 Haida canoes coming up there at one point. And then somebody that had some vision, had some understanding of what was going on, also came up to the people at Kwakwaka'wakw and said, don't come out and see those people anymore because, you know, they're not going to be as strong as they used to be. And that's because they knew that they were sending infested blankets up to Haida Gwaii, and they knew that that's what's going to happen to this strong nation. You know, so, you know, less than 30 boats show up the next time, less than 30 canoes show up the next time. And it's just a harrowing story when you hear it, because it just tells you that there was this genocide happening, you know. And it's, and again, that's another part of this history that's not very easy to tell, and it's not very easy to relate to people what that actually is, because again, this happened in your own backyard, it happened in your own history, and you need to understand it better. And that's what makes you appreciate, to me, the fact that we still even have a culture to talk about, that we even still have a culture like this to celebrate as much as we are.
An incredibly vibrant culture. I mean, one of the things that struck me is even at the height of Haida culture, as a relatively small group of people would produce such a huge volume of art.
Well, that was so amazing. I mean, to me, when I found through all the research that was done and through all the different museums that I've been able to attend in Europe and in North America, just, yeah, what a strong, vibrant people that we are. And humbles you in a lot of ways to know that you're inheriting this great legacy, and you've got to kind of carry that on to a certain degree, and you find your own ways and your own talents. And that's part of something that I take very seriously, just because I know that that's something that we struggle to do it in a lot of ways, because, you know, you have to kind of find those diplomatic routes that will work for you, you know, and, you know, you put up with a lot, but the end game is actually really very rewarding at the end of it all. I think we have an effect on people, you know, and that's what I find so rewarding, is that the doctrine, I think, that came from the one of the treaty cases that, or one of the trials that came up a few years ago, that we're all here to stay, you know, is something that I take very seriously, because I think that's part of the reality of what we're faced with. And I think the other thing that I understand, though, too, is that we can't do it alone. The Haida can't do these kind of things alone. So we have a lot of friends. We have a lot of people that kind of help us along in our journey, because that's defining who we are, but it also gets help from the outside. And humbling yourself to understand that and to take in that help in that way is really something that we continue to try to do, or at least I try to do as a Haida today. And working with museums and working with the Vancouver Art Gallery was a very rewarding experience in many ways. And for us to have this platform for 4 months here in the Lower Mainland with the kind of audience that we're going to be able to get to, we would never be able to get that in Haida Gwaii, because it's a very remote area, and because of the ferry sinking, more remote, because there's going to be less people going up there.
Well, thank you so much for coming down and talking with me about it this morning. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And I really encourage people to go and see the show.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Vince Collison. He's curatorial intern at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Raven Traveling is going to be on exhibition at the VAG until the middle of September.